We continue our learning. We've already mentioned that midrabanan avodah zarah is metame, but there we spoke about mago. We spoke about masa. Is it metame like a sheretz? Is it metame like a nida? That's referring to the avodah zarah itself. But when it comes to the offerings, the sacrifices to avodah zarah, those actually can transmit tumah through what we call tumas oel. We mentioned tumas oel in the past. There's tame when it comes to touching maga, masa, carrying him if you're not touching, and being under the same tent, under the same covering. So the Chachamim have said that zivchei mesim are metame like a dead body. And therefore, just like when it comes to tumah of a corpse, of a dead body, if there are people or kalim or food that are under the roof, they become tame as well. The same thing. If you have people, kalim, or food that are underneath an oel with an offering, a sacrifice that was given to avodah zarah, they become tamei as well. Let's say underneath an asherah tree, so there's a likelihood under an asherah tree there are going to be offerings, there are sacrifices that were there. So the Mishnah is going to discuss someone who's under an asherah tree and the tumah that we speak of, and other halachas about an asherah tree as well. Lo yeshev b'tzila, says the Mishnah, a person who is not permitted to sit in the shade of an asherah tree. And that would be true even if the area where you're sitting is not underneath the tree directly, but it's from the shade of the tree, and then that's because you're not permitted to get hana from an idol. And in this case as well, you're not able to sit in the shadow of the tree, and that would be true even though you're not under the tree. This is considered getting benefit as well. Bar Tanura says, when would we have this? He says, "Dikshehachama b'mizrach," when the sun is in the east, o b'marav, or in the west. Yesh l'kol davar tzel aroch. Any physical item that's there is going to have an extended and elongated shade, and so you may not be under the tree, but there's going to be shade nonetheless. So the Mishnah here says that l'chatchil, a person should not sit under the tzel of an asherah tree, even though you're not under the tree directly. Vim yashav, but if he did do that, as long as he's not directly under the tree, tor. He's going to be tor. The point is that even though there may be, as we said in the introduction, there may be sacrifices that are under the tree, you don't become tameh as long as you didn't go under the tree, because it's only tumas ohel that we speak about. Under the tree, we assume that sacrifices are there, so you become tameh midrabanan. But if you're in the shade of the tree, you should not do so, because that's considered getting hana from something that's worshipped, from the tree itself. But nonetheless, if you're under the tree, you are tahor, you don't become tameh. V'lo yavor tachteha vim avar tameh. A person is not permitted to pass under the tree. This is, even though you're not going to be sitting on the tree, we have to remove ourselves as best as we can, distance ourselves from avodah zarah. So anything that we can, lo yidbak b'yadcha mu'umam and acherim, we remove ourselves completely from this. So, but vim avar, let's say a person avar did pass under the tree, tamei, so the halacha is, so he does become tamei. Why is this different than the person who sat? Here's a person just passing through. So the answer is, although he's just passing through, nonetheless, he was under the tree. And since we assume that there are sacrifices under the Asherah tree is a tree that's worshipped, so we assume that people were sacrificing underneath it, and therefore this tumas oel by the fact that it was under the tree, even though he was passing by. Haisa gozeles es harabim. Let's say it's an Asherah tree, literally that was stealing from the public. What does it mean? It was hanging over an area that was not private use. It was something, it was a rishus harabim. It was something that where the sidewalk, the street. So v'avar tachta, and the person passed under the tree now. So in such a case, tahor. He's going to be a tahor. Ah, he passed under the tree. So the bright rumor says, the tumah de rabbanon. Remember, this tumah that it's tumas oel of avodah zarah is all de rabbanon anyway. V'hecha de gozeles harabim, lo goz rabbanon. And where the person's asherah tree is stealing from the public area, so the chachamim never made that gzera that there should be tumas oel, and therefore he will be tahor. Then the Mishnah says, "Vizorim tachteha yurakos bimos hagashamim avalo bimos acham." A person is permitted to plant vegetables under an asherah tree during the winter months, the rainy season. Why is that allowed? Because he's not getting a hana from the tree. His vegetables are not gaining anything by being under the tree. In fact, the shade is harming the vegetables. So there's no problem with planting your vegetables underneath the Asherah tree in the winter months, avalobi bosachama, but you can't plant your vegetables under the Asherah tree in the summer months, because during the summer, the tree is protecting the vegetable from getting too much sun, which may ruin the vegetables. On the contrary, here the tree is helping the vegetables. Then the Mishnah says, v'hachazarin, like chazeres, which is lettuce, lo bimosacham, v'lo bimosacham, that you cannot plant under the tree even in the winter months, because lettuce, we assume, is going to benefit from shade even in the winter months. Even though you'll say, it's a winter, it's cold anyway. Nonetheless, even a little bit of sun in the lettuce can dry the lettuce out. And therefore, during the winter, we'd rather have it in the shade, even though it's cold, rather than in being in the sun. Rabbi Yossi Omer, af lo yirakos b'imos hagshamim. Mipnei shehanim miyah no sheras alein. He says a person can't even plant vegetables under the Asherah tree during the winter. Remember, this is any vegetable, where the Tanna Kamma says not lettuce, but other vegetables, which we say the Tanna Kamma says are permitted in the rainy season, in the winter, underneath the Asherah tree, because you're not benefiting. It says, obviously, no, you cannot plant yirakos under the Asherah tree, even in the winter. The leaves, and the mia refers to the leaves, they fall upon the vegetables. The hovel lahem lezevel, and it becomes like fertilizer. What does this mean? So the Gemara says on Daf Mem Test that Rabbi Yossi, although it sounds like he's being strict, he says, you can't plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree even in the winter. In fact, Rabbi Yossi holds that you're permitted to plant vegetables under the tree without a problem. And we know this from Mishnah Gimel. What happened in Mishnah Gimel? So if you remember, we spoke about the dust of Avodah Zarah. And what did Rabbi Yossi there say? He says, if we have a product, we spoke about that there. Zev ze gorem. If you remember, we have a product of where there's a combination of something that's permitted and something that's forbidden. Zev ze gorem, Rabbi Yossi says, is going to be permitted. So the same thing would be true here. Here we have, these are forbidden leaves. They come from the Asherah tree. But what do they do exactly to the growth of the vegetable? They contribute to it a little bit, let's say where it's helpful, giving it shade. But the other things that contribute to the growing of the growth of the vegetable, the water and the sun and the soil. So if that's true, the fact that we have an Asherah tree that's contributing to it doesn't matter. Zev is egorim. We have two causes that in combination are going to give us a certain product. The fact that one of those causes, it happens to be usher, which is the leaves of the Asherah tree, the shade of the Asherah tree, we don't have to worry about that. Because the other things that combine with it to make it grow, like water, sunlight, and soil, are permitted. So Rabbi Yossi holds Zev is egorim is mutter. So what is Rabbi Yossi telling us here when he says, you can't even plant vegetables in the winter? According to him, it sounds like you plant vegetables all the time. And he was coming to tell us that you can't even plant vegetables in the winter. The Tanna Kamma says, at least, you can do that in the winter and not in the summer. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi is coming to speak to the Chachamim and saying like this, I'm here to challenge you. You hold that if you have any vegetables that grow, zevze goreim is usser, whereas the combination of something that's usser and something that's mutter, you say that's a problem. So then you shouldn't allow planting vegetables under the Asherah tree in the winter. Why? Because the leaves that are usser from the Asherah tree, it's true that it's not helping as much as they would in the summer, but nonetheless, they are falling, and they do serve as fertilizer. They fall off the tree. That's what he means. He says, "Mnei shana mia no sheres alein v'havel elam zevel." They act as fertilizer. They're falling down. So, according to you, Chachamim, zevze gorim, the leaves of the Asherah tree are certainly contributing to the growth of the vegetable. Therefore, it should be usher. So, why do you allow it in the winter? You should never allow planting vegetables underneath an Asherah tree. How would the Chachamim respond? So, they would say, you think the leaves are really contributing at all any benefit that that you think is being gained from the prohibited leaves of the Asherah tree is going to be canceled, is nullified by what? By the fact that the tree is doesn't give shade and doesn't give sunlight in the winter when we need the sunlight. So it's not really the tree's benefiting, the leaves of the tree are benefiting the vegetables at all. And therefore, this is not a case of zevzeh gori maser. The only thing that's and we don't have to worry about during the shade. There's no goreim. There's no something. There's nothing forbidden. The Asherah tree leaves are not benefiting at all. Peregimol Mishnah test. Natal mimeno eitzim. Once again, we continue with the halachos of the Asherah tree. A person took wood from the Asherah tree. Asrim bahana. So there also bahana. If you can't get benefit from an idol, you can't get benefit from an Asherah tree. So of course you're not permitted to use the wood of the Asherah tree. Hisik bahana sator. Let's say though you took that wood, which we told you you can't use, again is asa bahana, and you heated up an oven with it, an earthenware oven, klei cheres. So do we have to be concerned now that you just used the wood to heat up the oven? So the Mishnah says im chadash, if this earthenware oven is new, which means this, it was heated up for the first time with this wood that was asa bahana from the Asherah tree, then you touch. Then you have to break the oven, you have to destroy the oven. Why? Because since the oven was first heated, which now strengthens the oven, hardens the oven, makes it now ready for to be used. So anyone who's going to use the oven afterwards is now getting hana from that which the wood from the Asherah tree caused. It now strengthened the oven, made it usable, and now you benefit from whatever effect it had on the oven. So you have to destroy the oven. No one can use the oven for baking, because this earthenware oven was warmed up and strengthened and made ready for use through wood that was asa bahana from an Asherah tree, but vim yashan. But let's say the oven is an older oven, which means it was already strengthened and heated up before. So then the Mishnah says, yutzon. Then you can use the oven. What should you do? You have to let it cool down, which means that the heat, the using the oven at a later date after it cools down and it's heated up again. So then we don't have to worry about the fact that it was heated up by forbidden wood, because the oven was already, what's now going to heat up the oven? So then I use permitted wood. The old wood is not doing anything for me when I'm baking my bread. And the old wood also didn't strengthen the oven, didn't cause it, didn't make it usable because it was an older oven. So therefore we cool it off so that the heat now that wood that from the Asherah tree was providing is not doing any baking of the bread. So then, and I use now permitted wood, so that's going to be permitted. Now, if you think about it, even according to the first case, what happened? That's where you use the Asherah wood to heat up the oven for the first time. It's a tanur, a chadash. We say you have to break the entire oven. If you think about it, if let's say someone used the oven now and you bake bread in the oven as a result of what? Of an oven that was strengthened by wood. And now what? Now you buy wood from an Asherah tree, but now I put in new wood and I bake bread. So the bread is baked. This is a zevzeh gorim case as well. It's a combination of firewood that was usher, that strengthened the oven. That's true. But I have new firewood that's helping bake the bread. So this is zevzeh gorim. So what would the halacha be? So according to this is the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Remember we said, according to the Rabbi Yossi, zevzeh gorim is going to be mutter. According to the Chachamim, zevzeh gorim is going to be usher. So therefore our Mishnah, which says that you're not permitted to use the oven, must be following the opinion of the Chachamim, who hold that zevzeh gorim is going to be usher. Rabbi Yossi would disagree. He would say, oh no, the oven wouldn't be usher. If you want to cook baked bread in there, it should not be a problem, because the bread is going to be heated up by a combination of the Asherah tree wood that strengthened the oven, the new oven, and new wood that's helping break the bread. But everyone agrees, the Mishnah tells us, that if it's yashan, if it's old, so then as long as you let it cool off, then the only thing that's baking the bread is the new wood, which is not from the Asherah tree, and that is permitted. Then the Mishnah says, afa bo es hapas. Let's say he ended up baking bread Which means, let's say in the first case, he baked bread, is according to the Chacham, according to the opinion of the Mishnah. He baked bread with the oven that was heated up for the first time with the wood when he should not have. Or let's say in the second case, he baked bread in it in a case where it was an older oven, but he didn't wait for it to cool off. Says the Mishnah, Asur Bahana. That bread is going to be Asur Bahana, because there was forbidden wood that contributed to it's being baked, and Zed is their goreim, according to the Chachamim, is going to be Asur. If let's say, though, Nisarva Bacheros, that bread that you just baked became mixed with other breads that are permitted, Kulan Asuros Bahana, they're all Asur Bahana, well, because you never know, maybe the one that you're taking now is going to be Usr. Now, why should that be? Generally, we have the concept of Batel, and it comes to things that are solid. Let's say something is going to be Batel Barov. So we have three pieces of chicken, and two of them are kosher, one's not kosher. The halacha is, and can't identify, halacha is that it's Batel Barov. Whether you can eat all three, you have to get rid of one, you can't eat all three at the same time, that's a question. But in the end of the day, it's really Batel. So why wouldn't we say the same thing here? That bread should be Batel in the majority. So the Mishnah is telling us, no, it's speaking about bread that was not baked by a baker, but rather it was baked by a balabais. What's the difference? So the difference is that a balabais sells his items by the unit, not by weight and by volume. And the halacha is, because of its chashivos, that it's sold by the unit, it's not Batel Barov. And things in general that are chashuv are weirder. We assume that are not Batel Barov. Let's say balei chayim, live animals. We say are not the Batel Barov, not nullified in the majority because they have chashivos. The same thing is true over here. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says, no, there's a way to be able to use these loaves of bread where you had this mixture. Yolech Hanali, Yama Melech. Tell you what, you should send the Hana, the benefit, into the Dead Sea. What should you do? Take whatever the value of that prohibited loaf of bread is and throw that value into the Yama Melech, into the Dead Sea. This way, no one's going to benefit from that loaf. You know where the loaf is. You're not throwing a loaf of the bread in there, but you're throwing money in there. And that way, you're able to get a benefit from the rest of the loaves. Bartanura says, they're not throwing a loaf in, but I don't know which one is usher. That's the whole problem here. But rather, demay ki karshinasarv, the value of the loaf that was mixed up, throw that value in, and that way I'm not going to benefit. The Chachamim say, no, I'm low, ain't pidyon l'avodazara, there's no way to redeem avodazara, that's essentially what you're doing. They hold, you can't make, there's no way to make that loaf permitted, it's chashuv, it's not batel barov. And then they're kulan asurus bahana. They're all asur bahana according to the Chachamim. Yeah, if you let's say you have an object that you donate to the Beis HaMikdash, you can redeem that. You transfer its kedusha onto money, so that's fine. But you can't transfer the avodah zarah, can't be transferred onto money. It doesn't work. That also, the money becomes asur bahana as well. So that's why they say ain't pinyan avodah zarah. Then the Mishnah says natal haymena karkor. Another way a person may potentially get hana from an asherichi, which is problematic. Someone took a piece of wood from the Asher chief to use as a karkor. That's a pick that's used by someone who does weaving. So, asur bahana, that pick is asur bahana. All right, boys, let's say you use that to weave a garment. So now you benefited from that piece of wood from the Asherah tree. Habegir asabana. You're not permitted to get hana from that beggar. The same way you couldn't get hana from the loaf of bread that you bake with forbidden wood. Nisari bachem. If let's say that beggar, that garment that was usur because it was woven with a pick from an Asherah tree became mixed with other begadim that are permitted. Vachem, and those other garments into which that forbidden garment got mixed together now get mixed with even others. Kulan asron bahana, according to the Chacham, the same thing, just like with the bread. When it comes to clothing, you sell them by the unit, and therefore the whole thing is us. It's not nullified in the majority because each one of them is considered a chashuv. This says Rabbi Eliezer, no, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, Yolach Hanal, Yama Melech, the same thing. Whatever benefit that garment was, dispose of that into the Yama Melech, and that way you're not going to get benefit from that, for the value of that beg, and you can use all the begadim. Amulo, ain't pinyon. The Chacham said once again, no, there's no way to be poda to redeem avodah zarah.